Hey guys, this is Madison Page. You're listening to the Texas Country Tour podcast.
Welcome to the Texas Country Tour podcast. Whether you're looking for a performance near you or want to learn more about your favorite local artists, this show connects you with all things Texas country music. From deep in the heart of Texas, here's your host, Cameron Mitchell.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Texas Country Tour podcast. It's been a while, hasn't it? I know many of you have been wondering where I've been and why there hasn't been a new episode since August of last year. Well, today, I'm here to address that and share some exciting updates with you all. You see, life has a way of throwing unexpected curveballs, and that's exactly what happened to me. I had to put the Texas Country Tour Company on hold because I made a decision to pursue my passion for teaching and fully obtain my teacher certification. I am fully certified now as of this past winter. It was a challenging and rewarding journey, but it required my absolute full attention, leaving little room for podcasting. But guess what? The school year is over, and I'm back to my normal schedule. And the best part is that I plan to keep a consistent schedule even when the next school year begins. So, get ready for regular episodes filled with incredible stories, music, and conversations. Speaking of conversations, we're changing up the podcast format a bit. We're going to shift more towards artist interviews. My goal with these interviews is to dive deep into the minds and hearts of these talented individuals and learn more about the human behind the art. I believe that by having meaningful and honest conversations, we can truly understand the stories that inspire these incredible songs. And today, we have a very special guest joining us. Country singer Madison Page will be sharing her journey and opening up about the story behind her most meaningful song. We are thrilled to have Madison on the show. Now, before we dive into the interview, I want to provide a full disclosure. Today's episode will address some sensitive topics, including bullying, self-harm, and the ideation of suicide. Due to the nature of these discussions, it may not be suitable for younger listeners. If you or someone you know is struggling with these issues, please seek help. The National Crisis Hotline is available 24/7 by simply dialing 988. Again, the number for the National Crisis Hotline is 988. Remember, you are not alone, and there are people out there who care and want to support you. Now, let's move forward with the show, shall we? Madison, welcome to the podcast. We are glad to have you here.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So we definitely want to learn more about you, and we have tons of questions to ask in order to learn all about Madison Page. So my very first question is, can you tell us about yourself?
Yeah. I'm a country singer, obviously. I'm on here. But more about me is I was born and raised in Houston, Texas. I'm the youngest of six and some musically inclined family members, but not to the extent that I am. I moved up to Fort Worth, Texas, which is where home is now. I made that home 5 or 6 years ago, and I've fallen in love with the music industry, not only just music industry, but country and the songwriter aspect. I started around, my mom would say about 2 or 3. I was just singing something. We didn't know what it was, but I was singing my heart out. And then about 8 or 9 is when I taught myself guitar and vocals, and I blossomed from there between elementary doing talent shows and plays and musicals to junior high and high school. I mean, I kept with it, and I've pushed my name out there for about 14, 15 years now, and it's been a long journey, but it's been really fun doing it.
Now, you are a business owner for both hairstyling and, of course, your music. How do you balance it all?
Yeah. Well, honestly, it's kind of convenient for me because the aspect that, you know, I know we had talked kind of every week and you got to see me on one of my shows. I get to do my own hours. I'm my own boss for both, which is what's really nice about being self-employed. And it's some things that people don't get a chance to really experience. And I truthfully wish people could, because it is something I think everybody should get to put their feet into and kind of see what it's like. But it's not for everybody, and you have to be a go-getter, and that's what really builds both careers. Even though music's kind of been not, I wouldn't say really on the back burner, but it's definitely been put to the side a little bit just so I could really push my hair out there and find the love again in music that I had when I was growing up and doing it. But honestly, I grind every day. I mean, my fiance will get mad at me sometimes. I come home and I'm on my phone, and I get it. I'm always on my phone, social media. You're doing hair clients, you know, Tuesday to Thursday and Friday. And then, you know, I'm doing music on the weekends. So where's the time to sit there and clean the house and get my life together for the next week and get social media posted for both music and hair? And you learn to find it, and you learn to put your whole 100% in both.
Right. And for the record, what is the business name for your hairstyling venture?
So it is Hair by Madison Page. That's what I go by for hair. So yeah.
Okay. And yes, I did come visit you in the Rhinestone Saloon this past weekend in Fort Worth in the Stockyards. I saw they were posting that you'd be performing there on Instagram. And I was like, I've had her on my website forever, and I genuinely want to go just see a performance. And I'm honestly glad I did. You did mention yep. that you have a fiance and you have a wedding coming up as well. Tell us all about that.
Well, luckily I'm an A-type bride, meaning that I have everything planned and paid for by now. We're lacking like two major vendors. Besides that, we've got everything done because of the fact that I knew I was going to literally be pulling myself at both ends between two full-time careers along with wedding planning. And because the girls do it all, to be quite honest, if you're a guy that does it, bravo to you. You deserve like a drink or something, but it's always the girls that do everything. And so plus I'm a control freak. I want to know how everything's going to get done, and it's going to get done correctly. So yeah, it's been a lot of planning, but we have 8 months to go, and I'm basically completely planned out, so I can't complain.
That's awesome. So let's shift over to your music career.
Yeah.
My next question is, how did your American Idol experience impact who you are today as a musician and as a person?
Yeah, so it's funny, I get this question a lot, and it's going to sound really bad when I say this, but honestly, I didn't learn anything from American Idol. And the only reason being, you know, on season 12 of The Voice, I did that back when, and I didn't get a chair turn, but I did go all the way to blinds. And of course, if you got a chair turn, they air you on TV. But if you didn't, it's iffy on if they put you on TV or not. They didn't put me on TV. And I really learned reality TV then. So when I did American Idol, I just remember Carrie Underwood. I was like, you know, she went because she's like, well, what if I don't go? Like, what if I don't get on the plane and go do this? And that's how it was for me. I was like, what if I don't take this advantage and try? At least I go once, doesn't go good, you know, move on, whatever. And I went farther than I expected. I made top 60. And that was incredible. When you look at just not only, I guess when I tell people it's the end of Hollywood week, I'm like, God, that's like really not that far into the show. But really, when you look at the pre-auditions to it, along with how many people that try out for it, it's really incredible to look back on. I will say that the most fun thing about doing those things is you meet other people that are like you. I did America's Got Talent years ago when I was still in like junior high. It was like 2012, and everybody did everything. So everybody looked at you and judged you because you were doing something different or you're doing the same thing as them. And it's different when you're on those singing shows. And for me, I was really hoping to have it push me out there. And the COVID came and ruined it. So I had about one venue, truthfully, out of everywhere that I've gone to that was like, oh my God, it's Madison Page from American Idol. Otherwise, I didn't get the exposure and the shows I was wanting from that exposure and the way I was wanting it done. It didn't happen like that. And I took it with a grain of salt. You know, it's all you could do. And it's cool to have it under my belt to say I did it. And I'd say an advantage to a point because, you know, people are like, oh, well, she must be a big deal. but I mean, I'm not, but it gets people to know who you are. Like, I want to know this person. So, it was a difficult time, and I didn't really take too much, you know, as me, I learned how to really be okay with being alone, because you do travel alone after 18 and you're on your own. You get to be put in these rooms where you're with people. You have no idea who they are. My roommate was something else. And just the experience itself, it's draining. And it teaches you how to have strength to carry yourself, even when you may not be okay, whether it's you're tired, you're having a bad day. And that really taught me that no matter what, you put a smile on your face and you continue forward in a mental, healthy matter of things. Obviously, there's a fine line. But yeah, I mean, that's mainly what I took from it. Kind of hard once you've already done a show, you learn reality TV and how it works. I can't even watch like live TV anymore because I'm like, I know what they said to get them to say that.
Right. Like all behind the scenes, you know,
yeah.
Is reality TV really real?
Yeah.
Okay. My next question I have is, it's going to be kind of a fun one because I want to see what your music taste is. Imagine you're at a wedding and you get to request one non-country song to get everyone dancing. Which song would that be and why?
It would be Shoop by Salt and Pepper.
Oh, wow.
That was my stuff. And so I'm 24. I was a 99 baby. I'm the last of the 90s. I'm still a 90s baby, and I will argue with anybody who wants to argue with me on it. But
you've got it right in.
Yeah. So I grew up, though, youngest of six. So we had the oldest who was like 34 when I was like, to my knowledge, when I was doing music and things. I had friends that were mid to late 20s. Everybody who was always older than me by 5 years or so. So I learned a lot of not only country music, but the stuff that was like hit in the days. And let me tell you, the 80s, that was the genre to be at. That was where you wanted to grow up. During my mom, you know, she talks about it. My fiance's mom talks about it. I absolutely love the 80s. So yeah, that's my song. It comes on and I will drop everything. If I have a drink in my hand, I'll keep it. Might grab a second. But I will drop everything and dance to it and sing every line. Absolutely.
I respect that. You've got to learn how to have fun, and that's amazing. My next question is, what have you learned about yourself since your first paid show?
Oh, God. First off, I couldn't tell you when my first paid show was. I could tell you when my first tip show was. I guess it kind of somewhat counts. But, I mean, I've really learned. And it's so hard because you sit back and you're like, what have I learned? I mean, after you've done it for so long, it's not common to hear anybody who's done it for more than, let's say, 5 years. I mean, everybody I meet in the industry that is my age has been doing it for about 2 to 3 years or so. And, you know, I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I've been doing it for about 15 years. And like, well, how old are you? And they do the math and like, that's really young. I'm like, yeah, I had a drive at a young age. People did not like me because of it, but I knew what I wanted and I was going after it. And I think truthfully what I've taken for myself from my first paid show is you have to take the shows that have absolutely zero pay, that might be like $50. You have to take them. It's like it's like being a nurse. You take nights because it's the rightful duty that you have to do to earn your name today. And so that's kind of how it is in music. You know, you have to do the tips only shows. And I still do some of those, like a lot of benefits I'll get, you know, asked to do. They want to pay me. And I'm like, what's the point of doing that when it's a benefit? So there's a point that you need to give back to the community. And that's the biggest thing I've learned is remember where you came from. Remember who's helped you and always give back. And I've taken that from my first paid show to this is knowing that you may not have anybody but the workers in a room. And I've had it before. And you feel really crappy about yourself and you hate everything because you're just like, this is stupid. It's not worth it. No one's listening to me. Like these workers don't care, but they sit there and they'll clap after songs. It might be awkward, but they'll clap after songs. And it's like, you learn to be appreciative of what you have and you never know where you're going to be at the right time that someone's going to be there. And that's all it is in this industry is knowing who you know. And also too, is just knowing that you could possibly be in that right spot at that right time with the right person. And that, I mean, that's the two biggest takes I've taken from just my very first paid show or tip show or, you know, anything.
I want to go back into your knowledge of hairstyling and all that.
Okay.
My next question is, what is your favorite hairstyle you have ever rocked?
Oh, God. You know, if anybody knows me, they know I am the queen of having short hair and extensions in the same year. I mean, hence right here, look at me next month and I'll have extensions in. So I don't know, because I really love the short hair, especially for the fact that I say this confidently, not cocky, but I can rock it. And it's easy to fix. But I also love extensions for those shows that are like Rodeo Houston, where they're huge and you know you're going to be taking photos with people. Sometimes that short hair tends to go flat because, you know, humidity, especially in Houston. So honestly, it's a 50-50 between the two of them, because I would say, I guess I'm leaning more towards short though, because it's just easy to fix. It's sassy, and I am basically a blonde firecracker. So
heads up, everyone.
I mean, that's probably the best. Yeah.
All right. Going back to music. If you could collaborate with any country artist, living or dead, who would it be and why?
Well, one of the people I really wanted to collaborate to, I actually got the chance to do it, and that was Kimberly Dunn. Otherwise, I would say there's a mix between a couple people. I love Tennille Towns and Ash McBride. And the two reason beings, Tennille Towns has her voice is so special. Her voice is so unique and so special. And I love females and males who have such a unique style to their voice, because, I mean, a lot of people can sing. I mean, you can have people who can sing and play guitar or piano, but it's to have that quirky thing about you that makes you set out from the rest. And Ashley McBride's got a killer writing background, and she writes raw truth, just like Tennille Towns does. And I think both of them would be great to write with, and it would be a goal for me to write with, is because they're so true to who they are. And I'm sure they work with big writers. It's just part of Nashville. But you know what they release is not a 90% somebody else did it. They did 10% sign their name and that was it. They put their heart and soul into it. And you know the songs that have a meaning behind it for them. And they're phenomenal women. And I love both of them. Their music is phenomenal, the way they present themselves. Ashley's got this, you know, real just kind of sassy side to her. On the fact that, like, she carries herself well, but she's tatted up. You can't judge a book by its cover. Tennille Towns is this little thing, and she's very sweet, but when you listen to her, she's like me. She's got the huge voice. You just don't expect it. And they've got stories to tell in their songwriting, their vocals, and the words that they tell.
Yeah, Ashley McBride, absolutely. Like, she's genuine and real, and you can hear it in her songwriting. And then Tennille Towns, I discovered her in 2020 when there was nothing else to do but stay in my apartment. And I wish she came to Texas. You know, I know she's Canadian, but I want her to come to Texas, give those performances, because she has that unique voice, and it's just beautiful. It's almost not just country, but also folksy, and it's really nice. So I definitely understand where you're coming from on that.
Yeah. I would love to see both of them live. I have not yet, but I would love to.
As an artist, how do you measure success for yourself?
So I feel like this one varies between person to person. And some people might, you know, let's take my fiance, for instance, even though he's not an artist, but I do feel like people are much harder on themselves because they're 20-something. They need to be where a 40-year-old is. And it's not a bad thing to have. It means you're always driven and you always want to be better than what you're at. But I also feel like, too, there's a toxicity that comes with it mentally. And you have to give yourself satisfaction along the way to get to where you're wanting. And so for me, I set myself with little goals. And whether it's, I want to play this venue, I want to get a show of this amount of money, or I want to be able to book a show that's not a 3-hour show, or I want to be able to sing this new song. I mean, there's many different small itty-bitty things that get me to the point of, I would love to release an album. I would love to do these huge, gigantic, you know, 100 people shows, or have somebody who's in the audience that I have multiple people, more than just a few, that are singing my lyrics. there's very little things, you know, that lead to the big things. And for me, I set those little things because it keeps yourself humble. I mean, it's one of those things, if you get, you know, I think if your big goals are little things like, oh, well, I've got a song on iTunes. Oh, I've got a song on Spotify. I've done this. Well, I've sang here. Well, everybody and their dog has to. So, I mean, it's like, you can sit there and be cocky about it, but you have to still remain humble. And that's where, if you set those small things and say, I really would like to sing this song, and have the confidence to get it finished and sing it to the public and see what their response, whether it's good or bad, that already will humble you because you realize, okay, this could go really bad, this could go really good, but at least I did it. And, you know, you have to remember, bring yourself down. And I see so much in the industry, and I think it's partly why I've kind of stepped back from the industry is mentally it became so toxic to me. I got so tired of it and tired of always being so hard on myself. But those small goals will get you so far if you just, you know, for me, it does. And it's with anything I do, set the small ones to get to the big ones. It's like chapters. You have the book, the chapter, you do little things, you get the next chapter, and the little things, the next chapter. It's you know, just leads up to it.
I completely agree. You got to take it in bite-sized pieces and go from there.
Yep.
Next question. Who in your life has always supported you unconditionally, and how?
Well, this way she doesn't yell at me. It's my mama. And ever since Zayna stepped into the photo, it comes close first, but my mom has been by my side since day one. My whole family knows it. They're like, we know she's closest to you, blah, blah, blah. And I get it. I mean, my mom really has been by my side. I went through so much in school between being bullied and things that I mean, my mom was like, just hold your tongue. Got in high school and it was still going. She goes, fight back. And I'm like, I'm going to hold my tongue and just be, you know, I'm not going to be petty. I'm just going to keep it to myself. It's not even worth my time. And they both really support me, but my mom, she's been number one. And honestly, I've had a very supportive background. I'm very thankful because there's a lot of people out here are doing it. And I will say there are family members down the line that do not believe in my music career, but they believe in other people who have gone to schooling for it and, you know, have been successful, you know, in school with it. So they believe that you should go to college and then do it. And for me, why spend $500,000 or, you know, Berklee College of Music or this and this, where you got to spend so much money, you know, to go really get books and live there and have your food and, you know, keep a job and go to school when you can learn on the streets. It's going to take a little bit longer, but you can do it if you put your head in the books that are, you know, streetwise. And so I really have had a great support system and I cannot complain. And anybody who's ever doubted me, I always have a reason to sit back and be like, well, damn. I guess I shouldn't have said that. And I'm like, yeah. So, because I'm real bang on. Well, I'm going to take it. I'm going to use it for fuel. And I'm going to prove you wrong, because there's nothing I would love than to be petty and prove you wrong. That's the only time I'd be like, all right, I'm going to be petty. I'm going to make sure if they have a reason to sit back and be like, oh, well, snap. I guess I shouldn't have said that.
Just watch me. But, yeah.
Yeah. But my mama's my number one. She, man, I don't know what I would do without her. She, between just life in general and music, she's gone everywhere with me. Even when I've been old enough to go, if she can go, she's going. She's always front row and cheering me on. I've had people pick her out of a crowd where I don't even admit, but my mom's there and they're like, are you her mother? And I mean, we kind of look alike, but I'm like, yeah, that's my mom. And like, of course, then at that point, they get the whole spill about my entire life. But yeah, she's always there. She's always, when she can be, she is always there.
Awesome. My last question I have for this half of the show, and I ask this question as the last question from everyone that I talk to.
Yep.
That is, what are you hoping to add to the country music genre?
You know, I feel like part of it is authenticity. And, you know, I feel like that's so crucial. I think the biggest thing, and maybe it's not just country, maybe it's any musical genre for that purpose, is to, you know, to carry yourself well. And I might have a mouth of a sailor. I don't. I do have a mouth of a sailor, and I'm okay with that. You know, Jesus still loves me. I forgive him at the end of the day, or he forgives me. One of those ways. But it's one of those things, like, it's how you carry yourself, because you know, there's times where I'm like, I'd love to wear this. But I'm like, Madison, you've got little girls who look up to you. I'm like, no. And I think people forget it. And I do believe, you know, let's take, I'm Miley Cyrus. No, she's not country, but let's look at her. You know, she was Hannah Montana. Then she went to being Miley. And then Miley she is today. And she had little girls who loved her because Hannah Montana, it was Disney Channel. It was all over it. But, you know, people do start at a young age and they grow up to be adults where they're allowed to wear things or say things. And we forget that sometimes. And I do think there's a fine line with that. But I just want to be able to really represent the country music industry as it was, where it's tasteful, sexy, but still very classy. And it's country. It's not, I mean, I have a little bit of a more rock vibe on like my faster songs that I love, but it's just one of those things that I think writing true to yourself is obviously one thing, because I think we're losing that so fast. It's going downhill so fast, but it's carrying yourself well as, you know, that's a big one. I mean, it's huge. I mean, you look at like people like Lainey Wilson and that girl's, I mean, she's as true as it gets. I mean, I look at her and I'm like, I literally feel like you're one of my best friends, because the way she carries herself on TV and what she says online, she's not lying. She's as true as it gets. You're looking straight through her. Like, that is her. And I just think it's so important to be true to you and really carry yourself well and represent the industry that you're in and the genre you're in. I mean, we're not here doing rock or Lady Gaga music. We're here doing classic country or the older folk country, you know, Americana, things like that, that this wasn't how it was back then. And, you know, it's, I think it's important to let it live on in us that are the ones that carry it on.
Perfect. Well, thank you very much, Madison. We're going to take a quick break and return with a deep dive into one of your songs.
Perfect.
Are you ready to saddle up and rock out this summer? Look no further than TexasCountryTour.com, your one-stop destination for all things rodeo and Texas country music festivals. Picture this: vibrant sunsets, the smell of freshly cut grass, and the sounds of your favorite Texas country tunes filling the air. With our interactive calendar, planning your perfect summer has never been easier. Whether you're a diehard rodeo fan or a lover of Texas country music, we've got you covered. Our calendar features all the hottest rodeos events and toe-tapping festivals across the Lone Star State. From the wild bull rides to the foot-stomping concerts, TexasCountryTour.com has the inside scoop on the best events and lineups. Plus, our interactive calendar lets you customize your schedule so you never miss a beat. So, round up your friends, grab your cowboy hats, and head on over to TexasCountryTour.com. Don't miss your chance to experience the thrill of rodeos and the magic of Texas country music festivals this summer. Plan your epic summer adventure today. Visit TexasCountryTour.com, your ultimate guide to rodeos and Texas country music festivals.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button. This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. Now back to the show.
Welcome back. Before the break, we've learned about Madison Page's background and music career so far. Now I'd like to take a deep dive into one of her most meaningful songs. Madison, what song are we going to discuss today?
So it's the very first song I ever wrote. I've got a tattoo. It was the very first tattoo I ever did. And it's Stand Tall.
Okay. Please tell us all about Stand Tall and the story behind it.
Yeah. So I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm not like everyone else where I can spit out songs every day, weekly or hourly, or even yearly. But I was trying to write at the age of 12. I was like, you know, this is something that's crucial about the industry. People made me think like you can't be successful without that. And I agree to an extent. So I kept trying to write. And the one thing I always promised myself was to always write something that I wrote myself, was part of, and that I can relate to. I've had people message me and say, I want you to write about this. Would you be willing to? And I'm like, I don't know if I can really relate to it. I'm going to be quite honest. Yeah. So I don't set myself up for that because I'm going to sing that stuff. I want to sing the stuff I write. It's exciting. It's new stuff to me. So I want to be able to relate it to the crowd as if it was my own. And this one I wrote all by myself. Tried writing at the age of 12, and I eventually got it down at the age of 14. It took me 2 years to write this particular song, my very first song. I was bullied really bad throughout junior high and high school, from it being cyberbullying to being choked in school to having girls just absolutely hate me because I knew what I wanted to do, and it was a jealousy matter. And thankfully, I don't deal with it today. I've really just kept myself away from it, and I don't advertise or even entertain people who are toxic. I won't do it. And I wrote this song, and I was so hard about it. It's got to be about bullying. It's got to be about bullying. And I'm like, Madison, just let it come on its own. And ironically, half my songs I've written were written in the time frame that song is on your CD player, your phone, your radio, whatever it is. And this is one of them. And the words just started spilling out on the pen on paper in no time. And I wish I could sit back and like a fly on the wall and watch myself rewrite this song, like just as I was writing it, because it's a blur. I mean, I just wrote it so fast. I couldn't tell you at what part of the house I was in, my parents or what. But I actually, once I sat down and I had that song done, I looked at it, and the biggest thing that was huge to me was it became so versatile on how it can be used. And it's not just about this particular topic of being bullied. And that was something that I magically was surprised by once I ended up being able to actually hear it and see videos of myself and hear myself on videos of me singing. I was like, wow, more people can use this. And I can tell you there's some phenomenal stories with this song of how it has helped people. And it's incredible to see that music can move people in such a way and help them in such a way.
So my follow-up question is, can you tell us more about those, any remarkable feedback or personal stories from fans regarding that song? And how has that impacted you hearing their stories?
Yeah. It's funny because it's hard for me to get super emotional or to really have chills over something unless you really just got me good. And one of the biggest stories that stick out in my head the most, I've had a handful of people who have been on the verge of literally holding a gun up to their head, wanting to commit suicide because they've been in such a toxic state of mind, and listening to that song allow them to not do that. And that alone, for somebody who went through bullying and had the suicidal thoughts, it hits home for me. So it's one of those things to see that I'm helping people in a time that I wish I had something like that to help me. It's incredible. But I had a close friend at home, and she had a little, I would say 7 or 8 year old that was in school. And dad was about 26 or 25, had brain cancer. And, they're going through the motions with it. Kids don't express themselves the way they should because they're not old enough to know how to express themselves at that age. And they played my song for him all the time in the car because it helped her the most, because she was a single mom at the time going through it. And then also had her, fiance that she had just gotten engaged to, had brain cancer at such a young age. It's just, cancer just sucks. and her little boy was in school one day and ended up actually, he just bursted out in tears. It's almost like it all just hit him at once. And he told the teacher, he was like, I need my headphones. And he had grabbed the headphones out of his bag, and he turned on my song, and he sat there and he held himself and he just rocked to it, just back and forth. And that just gives me the most chills. It is my sadly one of my most favorite stories to tell about how my song has touched people, because if it can touch these adults who are older than me or my age, as well as all the way down to like 5, 6 years old, that's incredible just to see that I've written something so versatile to literally help anybody in any situation at any age.
That's amazing. Can you describe the emotions or feelings that you experience while performing the song?
Yeah. Empowerment's one of the biggest ones. I mean, it's in the song. The one line is the catch line is, don't give up, just stand tall. And it's so true. There's a couple of lines in there of like, people just want to chew you up and spit you out, but you just need to hold on. And it's so true because when I was bullied, people literally just, it was like chewing me up and spitting me out. It was one person after the next that just came at me. And it hit a point where I was missing, you know, 6 weeks of school straight. I had to go up and get my mom, went to the school, got my paperwork, brought it home because I was having panic attacks thinking about getting up to go to school. And this is also a time too that bullying, and it still isn't, it was not a serious topic to people. People didn't, they were not worried about it. It was like, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll do something about it, and did nothing. And I remember I even tried to move schools, and my principal at the time was like, well, I want Madison Page to, you know, stay here because I want her to be able to say, like, I want to be able to say that she came to our school. Because if I moved, that would have been gone, had something good, you know, happen in my career, take off at junior high. And I'm like, dude, it's going to be a while. Yeah. So my mom fought very hard for me. And that's where I say she's been by my side. She has fought extremely hard for me to get me into a place, because there's a point I was like, if you don't move me, you will not have a daughter anymore. Like, I can't do it. And so that song alone, when I sing it, there's some days I might be a little bit numb when I sing it, because, you know, it's kind of like you run through the motions. You've been through the song. You know what it does. You know the feelings behind it. And sometimes I like to close those doors. I don't want to think about it. And with that being such a deep song to me, there's a lot of times I don't want to think about that song and why I wrote it and the emotions behind it. But then there's days where that negative emotion has turned into positive for me because I've closed that door. But it is, it's about empowerment and standing up and just being confident in who you are and knowing that everything's going to be okay, whether it's just in that one moment in your life that things are just really crappy, it's going to get better with time. And so, yeah, I'd say confidence and empowerment are what I feel the most when I sing those songs.
Are there any specific musical elements or techniques in that song that you enjoy performing? What makes them stand out for you?
Yeah, I think the like a couple of things. One being that I start real soft in a song. I start really soft, and you know, the beginning of the song stays soft, and it's better when I have a band because they really, that drum just really drives it. But I go real soft in the beginning through the, you know, the first verse, and then, you know, I get into the actual chorus, and then at the end of the chorus, I say, "Don't give up, just stand tall." That's when drums will come in and hit hard, and then it carries through, and it just really brings the emotion and the drive out of what I'm trying to get message wise in that song. I love the, you know, the bridge. I love when you build up to that big, you know, the O part of it, you know, right before I go into the last part. And I love the very end of the song. The end of that song, you know, I just say, don't give up. You're not alone. Just stand tall. And it just really, that's the part that really tends to get to people when I'm live. It's just a matter of, you know, I'm literally talking to you at that point. I might be singing it, but at that point, if this is hitting you and you're feeling something from a song and you needed this, at that point, you're either got the goosebumps, you're driven into my focus. But at that point, me and you, we're talking. And that's probably the best lyrical part of that song, is that very end. And I love it because I love hearing people's reaction to it when I'm live. And they're just like, wow. Or they clap in the middle when I'm going to the bridge, and like I have that little bit of a pause of music. They'll clap for me sometimes and woo and all things. And then I get to that part and people are like, holy crap. And like, it hits people I would imagine in different ways.
The last question I have for you is, how has your song evolved or changed in any way since you first started performing it?
You know, I don't know if much has really changed besides the emotion for me personally behind it. Like I said, I closed the door. It was something that for a while I had trouble singing because I would tear up and I get really emotional behind it because it held such a very important meaning, you know, and honestly a very nightmare-like memory for me, something I didn't want to go back through. And, you know, I would say almost like a PTSD, but I want to use that lightly because I know it was to that extent that some people do experience PTSD in. But it's of that sort. I didn't ever want to rethink it. And when I did, I just didn't handle it very well. And, you know, I feel like, too, I had trouble singing it live sometimes because I didn't want people to be like, oh my God, it's another slow song. Or what is this about? Like, why is she bringing the room down? And I think some people can take it as I'm bringing the room down or I'm lifting you up. And I think it depends on what season of life you're in. And so now I get to the point, like I used to play it all the time. It was my one song and I was back and forth on one song today on what I wanted to push. because I have one that's newer that I love as well. But I was like, this is the one I've always driven. This is the one that if I want, I tell people at shows, if there's anything of mine you remember or anything about me, let it be this, because it's such a good meaning. And I believe it can really help people. And it's just, there's really not too much has changed about it. Besides that, I am more confident to sing it now. I'm more proud of this song. I don't care what people think about it because it's my song. I wrote it. It was a time that I was going through, and I've grown and moved on past it, and life has gotten so much better. But somebody in that audience may need to hear it. And so that's what I always tell myself. It's not about me sometimes. It's always about what someone needs. And if God's being like, you need to sing this, then I'm going to sing it. And that's how it is. And I don't sing it every show, but I know when I'm like, okay, something's telling me I need to sing this out there. And there have been times I've had people come up to me at shows and be like, I don't even know if you even know me. I didn't even know this song. I didn't know you, but oh my God, you just helped me through this, 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 this. And it's just, it's incredible to see, like, kind of like just the way that the Spirit works for me to be able to know this is what I was supposed to do and when I was supposed to sing at the right place, the right time.
Awesome. Well, thank you so very much for opening about that, about your song. Madison will be performing her song, Stand Tall, after this break. Ladies and gentlemen, Madison Page.
I just want to tear down my pain and regain myself, only to fall again. I just want to stand up and say I don't care, even though I cry every day. Sometimes
Thank you, Madison, for sharing such a heartfelt and inspiring story. Your music truly touches the soul, and I'm sure it will resonate with many of our listeners. As we wrap up today's episode, I want to remind all of you to take care of yourselves and each other. If you need someone to talk to, or if you know someone who may be struggling, please reach out and offer your support. Remember, the National Crisis Hotline is a phone call away at 988. Together, we can make a difference. Thank you all for joining us today on the Texas Country Tour podcast. Stay tuned for more incredible stories and music. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from us, you can follow us on Instagram at Texas Country Tour and on Twitter at TX Country Tour. Reach out and let us know what you think about the podcast. Feel free to ask us questions about the show. Our goal is to connect you to the greatest music genre in the Lone Star State. So, where is Texas country music taking you this weekend? I'll see y'all next time.
Thanks for listening to the Texas Country Tour podcast. Be sure to visit us at texascountrytour.com. Stay safe, have fun, and support live music.